trying to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
We need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
Well, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage. We need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
Welcome to another edition of Eco Talk. I'm sure it's a program you'll want to listen to in its entirety. Today's program brings you the political and ecological tides that keep churning faster and faster, almost faster than we can keep up with. Today we'll examine some of the surprising twists and turns that these issues continue to take. First up, 2 months ago, we celebrated the landmark deal between energy giant TXU, environmental groups NRDC and Environmental Defense, and big money financiers to stop the construction of last century's coal-fired power plants. Was it all a green dream? Well, this week's news makes us wonder. TXU has partnered with Mitsubishi, now we're learning, to replace those coal plant plans with some of the largest nuclear reactors this nation has ever seen. What went wrong? Was it a quick bait and switch? And why was the mainstream media so quick to cover the end of coal but so quiet about the rise of nukes in Texas? Friends of the Earth has been one of the few groups to take notice this week, and their executive director, Norman Dean, will join us to talk about what he thinks is up. And then in our second half, California has become the world's laboratory creating a green economy, and Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will join us to tell us what it's like to stand politically between the Terminator, green substance and symbolism, and the future of the world's sixth largest economy. And finally, yesterday, Newt Gingrich announced a welcome about-face on the subject of global warming, and thank goodness he's not the only Republican on our side. This week's Tree Hugger will be highlighting Martha Marks. She's the co-founder and head of Republicans for Environmental Protection, and she is a former guest on EcoTalk. She's been with us before. We'll check in with her again. But first, we're going to check in with Norman Dean, the executive director of Friends of the Earth. Welcome to EcoTalk.
It's a pleasure to be here.
What happened? Have we been duped? Is this as quick and sneaky as it appears to be?
Well, I certainly was shocked. It looks to me like TXU and its partners had not put all their cards on the table at the time the deal was cut. I think this is a bad step. It's a step that moves Texas in the wrong direction energy-wise, and I would be surprised, I would be shocked if NRDC and Environmental Defense, who negotiated this deal, knew about the nuclear plans at the time the deal was cut.
And we do have calls into them, and they seemed a little bit surprised by the news. I imagine they read it in the Wall Street Journal just like we did a few days ago, but we do expect some reaction from them. So, nuclear, what's your position on it?
That nuclear is not the way to go. In terms of climate change, there's been a lot of discussion about nuclear as the solution for climate change. But if you're concerned about climate change, you want to buy the fastest and most effective climate solutions that you can. And nuclear power is just the opposite. It's slow. It takes a long time to build these plants. They're incredibly expensive. Overall, they bear risks that society shouldn't be bearing at this point. To make a serious dent with respect to climate change, you'd have to build almost 85 to 90 full-size power plants a year, every year this century. And there, aside from the feasibility of that, it would generate a tremendous amount of waste material. And we've not solved the waste problem with nuclear power.
Will we ever, do you think?
I don't think so. I think politically, no one wants to have these wastes put in their backyard.
The ultimate NIMBY issue.
And so right now what we've got is the waste is being stored next to the plants themselves where they're sitting duck targets for terrorists. Unlike the reactors themselves, which are in these large concrete containment structures, the nuclear waste sits in frequently in corrugated buildings, which are easily penetrated, or sometimes right out in the open, surrounded only by a wire mesh fence. Very, very vulnerable to terrorist attack.
Mm. and too expensive, you mentioned, I think, and that's really a high cost not only to run them but to build them, and a lot of energy required as well.
Well, you wouldn't. No one would be considering building a nuclear plant at this point if it weren't for the federal insurance that's available and the loan guarantees that are now available for the first six plants or so that will be constructed. That they're just the market would never allow these plants to be built without that support by the federal government.
Now, nuclear is seen as a relatively clean source of power. It's actually not in many ways.
No, it's not. When you talk about clean power, you have to look at the full cycle of a energy source's life. And where you see some of the most significant pollution with nuclear power is at uranium, with respect to uranium mining and the milling of that uranium and then enriching it to the level that it can be used in a power plant. A single power plant generates about 20 to 30 tons of nuclear waste every year, and that's just for one reactor.
Okay, so let's get back to this particular story, because it is unusual in that, you know, the mainstream media really hasn't picked up on this second part of the story, and then some of the key environmental groups haven't either. Any idea why they'd be strangely silent on this equally large follow-up story development?
I don't know. I think that these stories tend to be played out in the media when someone is pushing to have the story appear in the media. And right now, I'm assuming that virtually no one has had an incentive to encourage the media to cover this story, at least not those who participated in the deal.
And I understand that there's some other plans for some other companies outside of TXU to build coal-fired power plants, so it's not like Texas is out of the coal woods yet.
Right, no. In fact, according to the Wall Street Journal, three companies, NRG Energy, Exelon, and Amarillo Power, have all said that they are considering building new plants in the state of Texas. And the irony is that the state of Texas is now the number one producer of wind power and is perfectly situated to meet its growing energy needs through wind power and other renewable energy sources.
That was my next question. If not coal, if not nuclear, then what?
Well, wind power is perfect in Texas. The state Energy Conservation Office in Texas did an evaluation recently and concluded that all of the state's energy needs could be met by renewable energy sources because of the geography and the weather conditions in the state.
And what do you see as the primary obstacles to building more wind farms in places like Texas?
Well, right now, I think that the primary obstacles are supply. That wind is economical, but we've not ramped up sufficiently the production of wind turbines.
Really? So it's sort of like the solar panel problem? There's just not enough factories to build them quickly enough?
We're not building them quick enough. And if we were putting the subsidies that we're putting into nuclear power into wind power, we'd have a lot more supply at this point.
Wow. And what about developing the infrastructure to transfer the wind power to the utilities? Is that part of it?
Well, in Texas, Texas has its own utility grid, and it's used to moving a lot of power from decentralized production because Texas also has a lot of chemical plants, other industrial facilities that are co-generating electricity along with their process heat to use in their production processes. And that power is being moved along this network. So Texas actually has a very good network for moving power around. So that's another advantage to using wind power.
So what does Friends of the Earth plan to do about this to keep this, you know, prominently in the news?
Well, we've been encouraging the public and our members to go to our website, which is www.foe.org, and we'll enable you to write a letter to TXU, the utility involved here, and its two new owners, and encourage them to reconsider this deal, scrap the nuclear power plants in exchange for wind power and other renewable power sources.
course, it'll probably take a lot of, you know, outcry. And that's exactly what caused the plans for the coal-fired power plants, of course, to be reversed. So,
no, that's right. There were 50 organizations, give or take, that were placing pressure on TXU to go away, move away from these 11.
Have to rally all of them now, huh?
Yeah, I think we need to put the coalition back together again and try to persuade TXU that going from one bad technology to an even more damaging and expensive technology is not a good deal.
Rally the Coal Coalition. We'll do our part. Thank you so much for your insight and your great work. Norman Dean, Executive Director of Friends of the Earth. Nice to have you as a friend of EcoTalk.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll be back right after these messages.